This is a Triple J podcast.
Every billionaire is a douchebag.
Parliament is a sick place.
I thought, oh my God, I might be an alcoholic. Obviously, I'm an inadequate guest.
If no, that's not what I'm saying.
Who's the Prime Minister?
A plan for the future. The Prime Minister spelling out his vision to shape the AI revolution for Australia. He's talking protection for artists, the environment, investment certainty. So what is in this big AI plan from the government and how do you feel about it? G'day, it's Dave Marchese with you for Hack. Coming up, we're going to break down this whole thing for you. And you're also going to hear from artists who've recently found out that their work, their music, has been available for AI companies to potentially use without them knowing.
I'm kind of confused as to how this is happening. Is it illegal, right? Is it illegal? It should be illegal.
Yeah, we're going to hear from the government as well. The Industry and Innovation Minister, Tim Ayres, is going to be jumping on to chat with us later. I want your thoughts too, though. Make sure you get on the line. You can text in 0439 757 555. Also, you can talk to us as well. Call in 1300 055 536. All the big AI developments today. First, though,
Hack.
I just found out that 17 of my songs are in AI training data sets.
On Triple J.
Yeah, we're going to get into some of the detail of the government's plan in a bit, but first let's focus on those impacted significantly by AI, and that does include a lot of artists, whether that's writers, singers, songwriters. How would you feel knowing your work might have already been scraped for big AI companies to use without you knowing? Because a huge database was recently published in the US that shows just how much Australian art is being skimmed by AI for machine learning. Jackson Worthington's been speaking to musicians who found their own music being used in these data sets without their consent.
Keith. This is faceless pillaging of our art.
What do Play Lunch, Small Fish and Fluent all have in common? Well, they're all artists you might have heard here on Triple J, and they all have music in data sets available to train AI, but none of them gave permission.
They haven't taken our music so that they can use our music. They're making something so that we can be obsolete.
We were all just completely taken aback and shocked.
The fact that they have the ability to do this without government regulating it in a better way is disappointing.
Last month, American news outlet The Atlantic created a searchable database of music that's being used to train AI. The database brings together four data sets that are being shared within the AI development community and contain more than 20 million songs. The journalist behind the story, Alex Reisner, wrote that it would take 91 years to listen to all the music in just one data set.
Making songs is hard. I think that's the point. It's like learning how to be a songwriter and learning how to write songs and get good at writing songs is a really difficult thing.
Liam Bell is the lead singer for Play Lunch. Their song Keith finished fourth in the Hottest 100. Play Lunch has been making music for years, but 2025 was the first time they've actually started to get APRA royalty checks that made a difference.
I've been so proud of those checks. You know, I've wanted to like frame one of those checks and put it on the wall to be like, yeah, now you are a professional songwriter, you know.
I reached out to Play Lunch after finding their music in one of these data sets. Liam says they kind of expected it.
Any artist working today or putting their music out on things like Spotify knows that your music might be getting taken.
I wasn't surprised at all.
Perth-based rapper Josh Eggington, also known as Fluent, wasn't that shocked when his manager told him his music was in these data sets either. Fluent, who's a proud Noongar man, says big tech companies have been training AI on First Nations cultural property for a long time.
All it takes is just to, you know, have a little play around with AI and you'll find out that it knows everything. I mean, it searches the web, literally.
He says it's good that people are starting to pay attention, but he wishes more was done to protect First Nations stories years ago. He says we need to shift towards ethical AI, where communities have a say about what knowledge and stories are being used.
On a practical level, I don't know exactly what that looks like, but definitely, like, permission is one of those things, like just permission in general on what is entered and not entered into the models is definitely a part of ethical AI.
And he wants the government to consult with First Nations communities on how to protect their cultural property.
We need to like go to the government and say, you know, you need to do something about this, and we need to push, yeah, for what an ethical model looks like for us, for our future and for our kids.
Now, the idea that big tech companies are scraping the internet to train AI models isn't new. A few years ago, Google trained an AI model on 42 years of music. That's 44 million songs. And AI music generator Suno recently said that its platform creates as much music as Spotify's entire catalogue every 2 weeks. The CEO says it empowers artists to experiment and collaborate, but some artists have no idea their music could be used.
It's awful. It's like all of the work that we've put in is just being disrespected by strangers on the internet, and that's not nice. It doesn't feel good at all.
I actually broke the news to Olive Coakley from Smallfish.
I thought that we were under copyright law, and like we are like registered with APRA. So I'm kind of confused as to how this is happening, and it is illegal, right? Is it illegal? It should be illegal.
Earlier this month, creators from across the spectrum gathered at Parliament House urging the government to hold strong on copyright protections. After reports the government was considering weakening laws in exchange for AI investment, here's music rights organisation APRA AMCOS's CEO.
This really is a figure on their balance sheet. What's the liability for the investment in the number one most important ingredient in AI platforms and generative AI? It's creative content. They know it. They've got to come to the party and pay for it.
Last year, the government ruled out providing a text and data mining exception to copyright laws that would have allowed AI firms to train on Aussie content without consent or compensation. The Prime Minister reaffirmed that promise today.
Australian writers, musicians, artists and journalists must retain ownership and control of their work. Our laws will spell that out, plain as day.
Hack on Triple J.
Jackson Worthington reporting there. And look, it is really complicated stuff and there are different views on all of this. So hearing from people on the text line now, someone's saying, look, I think politicians should have to take a test before making laws about it, which is interesting. Another person saying 90% of my Discover Weekly is full of AI sloth. It's horrible. All sounds the same. I wish I could opt out from hearing any AI-generated music. Let's get into some of this copyright stuff a bit more now, find out what's legal, what's not. And with us is Dr. Andrew Cullen, an AI lecturer at the University of Melbourne. Dr. Cullen, thank you so much for joining us on Hack.
Thanks for having me.
This issue of copyright law relating to AI is pretty complicated, but can you take it back to the basics for us? Is it currently illegal for these companies to use Australian art or content right now?
It'd be so easy if that was a simple question to answer, but it's actually really hard. From the perspective of artists, they don't think it's legal. They feel like their work's been hoovered up by these companies who are making a profit from their work and who aren't paying the artists for kind of what they've given. So when these cases have gone to court, things get a lot more complex. Like we think that copyright law should protect everything that an artist makes, but the main thing that copyright protects are like really distinct parts of art, like a melody or a particular recording. What it doesn't protect is style. And so when it comes to court, the AI companies tend to argue that what they're doing is they're not recreating somebody's specific music. They're not recreating Baker Boy's music. They're creating music of the style of Australian rap. And they say that that's not then infringing our copyright and they should be able to do that.
Okay, so for music specifically, it's extra complicated.
Oh, it is definitely extra complicated because you've really got to establish not just has the music been used, which is a challenge in and of itself, but then trying to work out if the music has been used in a way that actually infringes on copyright.
Do we have any idea of the scale of this issue, like how much Australian music could be being used for AI?
It's a huge amount of music. So I went through just one of these databases, and there's several of them, but one has 120 million songs, and I went looking just for every kind of Australian artist I could think of, going from like big musicians down to small ones. And so like every single one I checked, there was music in the database. And so like Kylie, John Farnham, INXS, AC/DC, Tones and I, Tame Impala, Parkway Drive, Vance Joy, like all those really big Australian names, all of them had more than 100 songs in just one single database. And so it's a huge problem for Australian musicians, but it's also not a surprise because these AI companies, they want to kind of hoover up as much data as possible, because they feel it gives them a competitive advantage to try and make the best possible AI.
Can you tell us how these data sets, these databases actually work? Because people might be a little bit confused.
Yeah, the databases kind of work just like Google. What they do is they don't package up music. Because if you packaged up like all the music that's in some of these databases, it'd take you years on your kind of home internet connection to download them. So instead, what they do is they say, here's a list of where you can download all these songs from. And they do it for tens or hundreds of millions of songs. And then they provide some additional bits of information as well. Like, it's not just this is where to get this song, but this is a song by AC/DC. It's a hard rock song from the 80s. It was composed by somebody. It was written in Australia, and then describing some of the bits of style around it. So the AI companies then use this data, and they kind of go and download the songs from wherever the database says the song is. And they put this then into the model, and then the model learns from the music and learns from those little bits of extra information about what the music is.
Okay. Dr. Andrew, what do you think broadly of what's been announced today? Like, because the Prime Minister's been pretty clear saying, we're going to protect artists. We're going to make sure that they have ownership over their stuff and they're not going to be exploited.
Yeah, look, it's a really promising thing to hear. I think from talking with a lot of artists, there's been real concern that the government was going to water down copyright law. But the devil really is in the details. Like, it's great to have these kind of aspirational statements that will respect Australian copyright law in AI and artists will kind of be paid fairly. But there's no real mechanisms that we have at the moment to force AI companies to disclose what data they've used to pay fairly. And so while there are kind of like people, there are people trying to work on technical solutions to this, we're a long way away from being able to really kind of say definitively, Australian art has definitely been used in this model. You as an Australian artist, how do you want to get paid for this, or do you want to block the company from using it altogether? So there's some real technical challenges there.
Yeah, there's some stuff to sort out for sure. We've got a government minister on in a bit, so we're going to be asking some of those questions. But for now, Dr. Andrew Cullen from the University of Melbourne, really appreciate your time.
Thanks so much.
And we've got a lot of big thoughts on this on the text line, as you can imagine. We're also joined by someone on the line. Aidan's with us. Aidan, you're a muso, and you recently played a gig with an AI artist. What happened there?
Yeah. So I played a gig at Kelly's not too long ago, and we found out that the artist that was playing before us was an AI artist just before the gig. Wow. We went through his Instagram and saw that it was pretty much all AI generated.
And how did that make you feel? Like, I mean, that's probably not something you're expecting. You're playing in the inner west of Sydney thinking it's just a normal gig and then it's AI.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. Yeah, was kind of shocked and almost curious at first. I mean, we wanted to sort of see, I guess, how that was actually going to work in a live setting because it's kind of hard to fathom, I guess. It ultimately ended up just being a sort of like pad karaoke, essentially, with the guy just kind of singing along to some AI-generated backing tracks. But it was quite disappointing, especially as people were paying to see the event. It was pretty shocking.
Yeah, are you worried, Aidan, for the future? Like what this is going to mean for you and performing in the future and, you know, the likelihood of you being able to secure gigs?
Somewhat, yeah. I mean, there's been a big sort of uproar about it ever since I made some commentary on it, which has been really nice to see. There's been a lot of community support for the idea of, I guess, not allowing this into a live space, which is good. I think we just need to be very vigilant that this is something that can happen now and that, venues need to be on the lookout for this sort of thing if they are truly, you know, for promoting human music.
Interesting stuff. Aidan, thank you so much for having a chat with us. And yeah, lots of people getting behind Aidan and, you know, supporting him. There seems to be a lot of people concerned about what this is going to mean for musicians in particular. Someone on the text line now saying all artists listen to other artists for inspiration and ideas. Isn't that all AI is doing? That's Jared's thoughts. But someone else saying every day I consider putting an Etsy witch onto AI to cast a bit of a hex. All right, let's get some views of people across Australia on what they think of artificial intelligence because not everyone has the same idea.
Hack. I am violently against AI. It's almost becoming impossible not to use in everyday life.
I think it's extremely helpful for studies.
I think it's destroying creativity. It reuses ideas. It actually steals from artists and doesn't give them credit.
I use it on occasion when tax time comes around.
People are outsourcing ideas instead of actually having them.
I have used AI in note taking and note summary.
Massively overhyped.
I mean, I use it daily. I think it's the future.
On Triple J.
Yeah, some different views on AI there. And I do want to know what you think as well. Message in 0439 757 555. How is the government going to deal with all this? That's the big question a lot of you have. And you might have heard that the Prime Minister delivered a big speech on this today. The Australian government, like other governments around the world, trying to figure out the best way to harness the benefits of AI while not losing control. Here's our political reporter, Evelyn Manfield.
It is not a question of if or when AI will transform our economy. We're past that. The choice that we have is how.
While some of us might just use AI for looking stuff up or editing pics, the Prime Minister today wanted to make clear it's so much bigger than that and far bigger than the evolution of social media.
It's changing the way that our universities teach and the way that students learn. It's helping small business owners cut the time they spend on paperwork. It's driving productivity and it's driving discovery.
It's even helping to innovate in the defence and security space and screen for cancer. But Anthony Albanese says Australia needs to get a handle on AI before it's too late, doing it in the Australian way and not wanting to wait as long as governments did with social media. Some people are worried about losing jobs and even human connection to AI. And the number of data centres popping up has got people concerned too. Whether it's living near one or the fact that they guzzle up a heap of water and energy. So the PM says he's going to put new rules into law.
Our rules will require data centres to minimise their water use, to maximise their energy efficiency and pay for any additional water infrastructure that is required.
Nationwide, there are more than 160 and dozens more in the pipeline.
We have more than enough room for new data centres without them competing with new housing.
The government has also promised to protect Aussie artists.
No company should use Australian books, music, art or news to build or train AI without the artist's control. And that includes the artist's control of the price and value of their work. Anything less is theft.
So how are they going to do all this?
I'm establishing the Office of AI in my own department of the Prime Minister and Cabinet.
What he's announced is an office in an office, inside his own office. He's going to have another office. What is that office going to do? I mean, honestly, the answer to this is not more bureaucracy.
Speaking ahead of the PM's full speech, based on some snippets the government had handed out to media, opposition leader Angus Taylor anticipated it would be a bit of a nothing burger.
It seems that the only jobs the government is going to create with AI in this country is in the Prime Minister's office.
But he does agree AI can deliver for the country.
There are threats, but there are also opportunities to create jobs, to drive rising incomes, to secure our country.
Now, the Greens are critical too. Here's David Shoebridge.
No additional statutory powers, no additional resources. That is not going to deliver the protections Australians have been asking for.
And what do AI companies think of the PM's speech? Well, Anthropic, the company behind Claude, has responded saying it's been clear for a while that societal level solutions are needed, given the tech's ability to reshape democracies, economies and security. And it says it'll take its responsibility to meet the new terms seriously.
Hack Triple J. Evelyn Manfield reporting from Canberra there. Look, we've got a lot of messages coming through. Someone says it's obvious we've got to nip this in the bud now. Otherwise, Lord help us. Sounds like the government finally knows this. Another person, Steph, saying, I'm a casting director and I'm seeing firsthand the impact AI is having on actors, models, voiceover artists, performers. Someone else saying there's speculation that AI chatbots are using gambling mechanics to hook people. Interesting stuff there. Look, let's get into this with the government now. Find out what the government is planning to do a little more, prosecute it a little more, with the Industry and Innovation Minister, Tim Ayres. Minister, welcome to Hack.
G'day. It's great to be on Hack.
It's been a big day, I imagine, for the government.
Yeah, it's an important day. AI standards for large data centres, but also bringing artificial intelligence into the office of the Prime Minister to set this as a national priority and to make sure that we're delivering the artificial intelligence capability that Australia needs on Australia's terms in our national interest.
I want to get into some of the detail in a little bit, but before we start, do you use AI? Are you a person that uses a bit of AI?
Yeah, I use it in some of my work life. I use it in my home life. You know, it's obviously transforming all of Australia's work and home and business lives. It's going to be a transformative technology, not just for Australia, but right around the world. It engages all sorts of challenges challenges in the labour market, challenges about the way that work is conducted, making sure that large data centres are adding to our electricity network, not undermining our electricity network. If we get this right and do it in an Australian way, on Australia's terms, we'll deliver a good economic outcome for the country in terms of jobs, in terms of economic opportunity, but will also make Australia safer and more resilient.
Obviously, there's a lot of interest in our audience from musicians and artists who want to make sure that their work is protected. I mean, can you categorically rule out the prospect of AI companies training on Australian copyright material without consent?
Yeah, yes. We have been very clear on this question from the get-go. There'll be no text and data mining exemption in Australia. There won't be any weakening of copyright protections because we know how important that is, not just for individual artists and creatives, but it's also important for Australia's culture. Like, that's an important part of our resilience and our sovereignty.
Because there were reports that the government was confidentially considering two different proposals to change copyright policy for AI training. You're saying they're off the table.
We have been consistent all the way along. I read those reports every time that I or anybody else in the government has been asked. We have been very consistent. No text and data mining exemption for Australia.
What about expanded licensing agreements? Because a licensing extension is a little bit different because it would preserve some form of payment or permission system. Is that on the table?
Well the Attorney General is leading discussions, including with the arts community and with rights holders in the music industry.
Because I guess a lot of artists just want to know how they're going to get paid.
Yeah, like that's right. And of course, if you're a journalist working for a news organisation or somebody working in academia, the holders of copyright are making sure that those benefits flow through to everybody is an important part of the system. But we have a copyright system. That's the way that it works. We'll work within the confines of that system to deliver the right outcome for Australia.
How protected are Australian artists? Because we've just heard from a lot of Australian musicians who found out that their music is in data sets overseas that could be used to train AI, and they didn't give permission for that. They don't feel like they've been protected at all.
This is the challenge. At the moment, AI training happening in other jurisdictions overseas, precious little protection for Australian artists. We want to see artificial intelligence training happening here on our terms, which means consistent with our copyright protections. That is a better position for the Australian arts community than the current position, which is they are reliant upon the copyright laws and frameworks in other countries where they haven't paid attention to these issues in the same way that the Australian government is.
Even with that position, though, and I know the Prime Minister's been saying musicians, artists, they're going to maintain control and anything less is theft. But how do you police this stuff if all the big companies are overseas anyway?
Well, that's going to be the subject of more discussion led by the Attorney General. There are not straightforward answers. Some of them are technological.
You can also imagine that it would be really difficult jurisdictionally, obviously, but also financially. So expensive for people to take this through the courts. And, you know, a lot of the artists that we're hearing from are young people and they might not have a big following. They're definitely not making a living off their music. A lot of these people still feel like they're going to be stuck going forward.
Yeah, and these are the kind of issues that are engaged more broadly in copyright. You know, when you're talking about platforms like Spotify or other music platforms, the same kind of issues are engaged here. And that's why we need a practical answer to these challenges, which sits within our existing copyright protection.
Just on that point that I mentioned before, the examples of the Australian artists who found that their work has been included in these data sets, they had no idea, they didn't give permission. What do you make of that? Like, do you think it's ethical that AI companies have potentially already benefited from artists' work without them knowing?
Well, as I say, these issues are happening in other jurisdictions.
But do you think it's ethical?
Well, it's not consistent with Australia's copyright protection.
Is it ethical?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, I hold a view as an Australian and as a member of the government, copyright is only meaningful when there's a payment involved, when artists have got a right to say yes or no to the way that their content is used. I mean, that's the only way that these protections are meaningful. They're there for a reason. Artists are workers, Australian creatives and Australian artists. So no, I don't think it's ethical. But we've got a responsibility here in Australia to build an Australian answer.
All right, this is Hack. I'm Dave Marchese. I'm speaking with the Industry and Innovation Minister, Tim Ayres, and we're talking about AI. Minister, something a lot of people are saying is the horse has already bolted here. Like many are saying, we should have been on this years ago. We've left it too late. And even you are saying now we have a lot of issues to sort out still. There's a long way to go.
This is a world-leading approach. This is Australia leading on these questions the same way as controversially we led on age limits for social media restrictions, the same way that we've led on a range of other questions.
People have been raising these issues for a long time as well.
This is Australia leading. The work on these questions, data centre expectations, the artificial intelligence plan for Australia, implemented and developed in a steady way over the course of this government's time in office. We are in a much stronger position on artificial intelligence, for example, than we were on social media. I would much rather be in the position that we're in than any other country on earth.
Can we get to data centres? Because it is something that has concerned a lot of people. We've been speaking about them a bit on this show over the past few months, and people have some worries. Are you confident that this plan from the government is going to do enough to protect the environment, water usage, lands, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, if we set the standards high for Australia, we get a good national outcome. So that is on the electricity questions, making sure that artificial intelligence data centres are underwriting new electricity generation and transmission means more electricity in the grid, means a better outcome for consumers. We've seen what's happened overseas in some jurisdictions like, in the United States, where in some states they have not planned adequately, and AI data centres, power hungry, are using up existing power and pushing up prices for consumers. That won't be the Australian way. Data centre expectations make that really clear. The data centre standards will make that mandatory.
A lot of people are obviously really worried about these centres popping up in their communities. How do you feel about data centres, going up near homes?
Well, I look at data centre development in the same way that I look at renewable energy development and other industrial developments. That they are all important. That we require all of this investment. I want to see wind farms and solar farms. Also want to make sure that Australia has the digital infrastructure and data centre infrastructure that it needs. They all have to satisfy the planning requirements. The Prime Minister was really clear today. Like, we want data centres to be in the right places. I was in the Upper Hunter Valley yesterday, in Muswellbrook and Singleton. Those councils want to see data centre developments in those former power station sites. They want to see them co-located with electricity infrastructure. They want to see them driving new electricity infrastructure investment.
There are people, though, that are concerned with data centres popping up near their homes. Like, yes, you're saying there are some who want them in their communities. I would note that the examples you're giving are places outside of residential areas. What about places that are pretty close? Would you be happy for a data centre near your home?
It depends, doesn't it, whether it satisfies the requirements. Like, this is the perennial development problem. We don't want a not-in-my-backyard approach, but we also have to make sure that data centre development happens in the right places. The standards will go to some of those questions, and it does mean local government and state government and the Commonwealth having the same approach. There's not a race to the bottom on data centre standards.
All right. Industry and Innovation Minister Tim Ayres, really appreciate you coming on Hack.
Thanks, mate. Anytime.
And some messages on the text line. Someone says there's no way the copyright system as it exists can cope with this new reality. We've got Gabby on the line with us. Gabby, you've got an interesting story because you recently left a job because of AI. What happened there?
The business was embedding AI onto all of our laptops, automatically accessing all of our files and emails. And I'm someone who refuses it in all elements of my life. So I just ended up having to leave. We didn't have any rights as an employee to refuse it. There was no option to back out of it.
That's a huge step to take, Gavi. Do you regret it at all?
No, the universe provides. There's more doors opening for me in non-tech spaces, and I'm, excited about the future.
Okay, glad to hear that, Gavi. Interesting. Are the people on the text line saying similar things? I don't want to have anything to do with AI, but some really love it, say it's made their lives easier. Someone on the text line now saying specialised AI models designed for certain things are fine, but generative AI slop absolutely sucks. Another person, how do we know if we're listening to AI music? Is enforcing disclosure of what is AI part of this new policy? And another person, AI is a tool. You can use it ethically or unethically. It's not just like it's amazing, but it desperately needs regulation. All right, that is all we've got time for on Hack for now.
Hack.